Wow. If we as church lived out the text of that song, where we are all welcome, all are welcome here, and for the youngest among us to sing, I am welcome here. Thank you, children and youth, for leading us and for bringing us a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven this morning. Church family, I invite you to join with me in the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Will you hear now God's word? Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise, they took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out, meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. My very first car was a white Chevrolet Celebrity. My dad bought it from a woman who could no longer drive her car, and her son was selling the car. And my dad decided that would be the most ideal large vehicle to protect his 16-year-old daughter as she started her journey on the road. There was twice in about a month period that something happened to this great big white Chevrolet Celebrity. And both times it resulted in phone calls to my daddy, "Daddy, my car won't start." Once I was sort of parked on an incline and my car wouldn't start. And thank goodness my mama had given me a quarter before I left home, because children, I didn't have a cell phone. So I had to use a quarter and go use the payphone and call my daddy and say, "Daddy, my car won't start." The next time I was sort of coming down a decline and approaching a yield sign, and my car just wouldn't keep going. You see, both of those times that resulted in calls to my daddy, somebody hadn't put gas or enough gas in my car. I learned a lesson then, especially after the second time, that when my gas gauge got to a quarter of a tank, I was to go straight to the gas station, because my daddy didn't want another phone call, "Daddy, my car won't work." Friends, this morning we find a parable of some bridesmaids who find themselves at that same sort of moment You see, my car wouldn't start or it wouldn't keep going because it was empty. It had run out of gas. There were these 10 bridesmaids. These 10 bridesmaids who were awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom. And they waited long into the night until they got sleepy and they went to sleep. And finally, the announcement came just after midnight that the bridegroom had arrived. Get up, be ready. 5 of those bridesmaids were described as being wise, and 5 as foolish. You see, the 5 wise bridesmaids had brought some extra oil with them so that when their lamps started to go empty, they could pull out their flask of oil and refill it. The unwise or the foolish bridesmaids, late, dark, in the middle of the night, pull out their oil lamps and the oil's gone empty. It won't work. There's nothing they can do. They didn't bring their extra reserve of oil. And so they rush to the wise bridesmaids. And they say, help us, help us. Our oil has gone out. Can't you share with us? And the wise bridesmaids say, we only have enough to fill our lamps. If we share with you, ours are going to go out and we're all going to be empty. You better hurry on your way and go to the dealer and get some more oil. And perhaps you'll have time to get back before the bridegroom arrives. So the foolish bridesmaids go on their way to find the dealer to get their extra oil because their lamps are empty. They won't work anymore. And while they're gone, the bridegroom shows up. And everybody enters into the wedding banquet and the door is closed. And so I can imagine the foolish bridesmaid showing up just as the door is slammed shut. And they knock on the door and bang on the door, please let us in. And the message that they hear in return is absolutely not. You weren't awake, you weren't ready, you weren't prepared. When the bridegroom showed up. Friends, I wonder how often in our spiritual lives we're like that vehicle of mine that just wouldn't start or wouldn't go, or we're like the bridesmaids who have their lamps and there's no oil inside of them, and that the lamps won't work, the light won't shine. In our spiritual lives, how often do we find ourselves running on empty? Running on empty. Maybe our spiritual lives are run down to the core because we're a caregiver. We're somebody that's charged with caring for the life of another human being. And as we're caring for the life of that other human being, our souls, our lives are being depleted in return. We're giving and pouring all that we can into somebody else's life. And our spiritual life is just empty. Or maybe we're battling an addiction. And as we battle that addiction day in and day out, our spiritual lives are empty. Maybe we feel disconnected from community. Maybe we don't feel like that there's anyone else in this world that cares. And our spiritual lives feel empty. Maybe our marriage is in distress. Or we're the parents of a newborn child and we've just had too many sleepless nights and that baby won't stop crying and we feel empty. Maybe the sting of grief is too raw and too real in our lives that our spiritual lives just feel empty. Or maybe we've just busied ourselves with so many tasks and we've run from here to there, completing the items on our to-do list, and our spiritual lives are just empty. The bridesmaids know what it's like to have an empty life. I knew what it was like to have an empty car. It's a desperate sort of feeling. Somebody help me. Somebody somewhere reach out and save me and fill me up. Brothers and sisters, we run ourselves empty. We run ourselves empty, our spiritual lives empty, because we don't take the time to refuel and refill ourselves from the power of God that is around us. You see, we can be a Christian. We can have Christ living and dwelling in our hearts, and we can still be at the end of our rope and our jars and our lights and our cars and our spiritual selves empty. Empty. Empty because a relationship with Jesus Christ is one that is nourished and one that is nurtured through practices of prayer and devotion and study. It's nourished through living out serving relationships with other people. When we've not taken the time to refill our spiritual lives, we find ourselves empty. For us to stay full, for our lamps to stay trimmed and burning, we must continue to cultivate the gift of God that lives within us. We must continue to cultivate the relationship with Jesus Christ that has been so graciously given to us. You see, those bridesmaids were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. And you and I find ourselves waiting. We're waiting for the ultimate reign of God on this world, for the second coming of Jesus the Christ, as has been promised. But about that time and that hour, none of us know. And so we wait. And as we wait, we're invited to be ready, to have our lamps full, to have them trimmed, to have them burning. And yet many of us find ourselves empty. Because as we wait for the coming reign of God, we've forgotten, we've neglected to do the real work of practicing our faith, of living out our faith. We've let our reserves become depleted and our souls have been starved. And today we are invited to find a way to refill our lamps as we wait for the coming of the kingdom. You see, in the text we encounter this morning, there's a warning. There's a warning issued to those of us who are running on empty. The warning is this, that being empty has eternal consequences. Being empty, being depleted, starving our souls has eternal consequences. You see, those bridesmaids went to refill their lamps, and when they got back, the door of the wedding banquet was shut. They weren't invited in. They weren't included, and they had a message. You weren't prepared. You weren't full and ready. Friends, As we wait, our empty, starving souls need to be nourished through a relationship, a deep, abiding relationship with God. The other warning is that we are responsible. We are responsible for ourselves. You see, remember those five foolish bridesmaids. They saw their five friends who were wise, who had their extra reserve with them. And so they first ran to those wise bridesmaids and said, "Help us, please. Share your oil with us." The five wise bridesmaids said, "I can't. We can't. Because if we share with you, then there's not going to be enough for both of us." Friends, we are responsible for our own spiritual lives. We can't rely on our spouse or our friend or our Sunday school teacher or our pastor or our neighbor or our grandmother, or our grandparent, our mother, our father, our brother, or our sister. We cannot rely on anyone else to nourish our souls. We must take on that responsibility to spend our time in prayer with God, our time having conversation, our time studying God's word. Looking deeply into the scripture passages and seeing how they speak and apply to our lives. We ourselves have to serve God with glad hearts to reach out to our neighbors in need. The warning in the text is clear. We are responsible for our own spiritual life. Our own prayer, our own study, our own devotional time, and our fellowship with others. John Wesley, who was the founder of a Methodist movement that now to this day becomes what we call the United Methodist Church. John Wesley used to gather small groups of people together in the early days of Methodism. And in those small groups, they were asked one question. How is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? May that question ring in our ears this day. How is it with your soul? Are you running on empty? Are you in need of some more oil so that the light of Christ that shines in you can burn brightly to the world around you? When I'm empty, when I'm running out of gas, I'm running out of steam, when my spiritual life is feeling like it's just on the rocks, I know that there's a time that I need to get by myself. I need to be by myself, and so that Sally and God can spend time together. So you remember that warning light that my daddy stuck in place for me? He said, when your tank gets to a quarter of a tank of gas left, you better head straight to the gas station. When my spiritual life starts to feel depleted and empty, that warning light comes on and I better spend some one-on-one time with Sally and God. A lot of times that looks like being outside, sitting on my porch swing at my house, for instance, looking at the beauty of God's creation and listening for the still small voice of God to remind me that I am God's beloved child, to remind me to this work that which I have been called, to refill my lamp so that I can shine brightly for Christ. I asked our program staff this question. I asked them what it is that refills them when they're running on empty. So for me, it was sitting outside, being in nature and being by myself. For Tony, it was sitting behind a piano. In fact, he's told us that if ever in the middle of the week we come down here from our offices over on that side of the building, down towards the sanctuary, if we hear music playing, it's because his soul needs to be nourished. He needs to be refilled. It's not just practice for him getting ready for the next worship service, but it's about refilling his soul. Connie says she has to spend time with her grandchildren. That's her happy place. To be with those little children who joyfully and abundantly share the love of God with her. Their smiles, their warm embraces nourishes and fills her soul. Sarah says cooking a homemade dinner for her children and her family is what fills her soul. Something more than throwing a frozen waffle into the toaster or the microwave, but taking the time to really prepare that meal nourishes a starving soul. So my friends at Myers Memorial, how is it with your soul this morning? Are you running on empty? Is the low fuel light on? Is it time to put into practice one of those spiritual disciplines that can replenish and refuel you and remind you of the joy of your salvation? Remind you that you are God's precious, beloved child, and that however difficult life might become, you are not alone. God in Christ is with you. If you're running on empty, I invite you to find time and space to nourish the gift of God that dwells within you. Today, as we sing our closing song, our altar is open. Our altar is open, and as the children and youth have sang to us, all are welcome here. You are welcome here. Come be nourished. Come be filled, so that you might shine brightly. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is printed there in your bulletin. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. And as I said, our altar is open if you need to be full. Let us stand and sing together.